Should conservatives defend racial favoritism? I'm Scott Ott with Bill Whittle and Stephen Green. This episode of Right Angle is brought to you by the members at BillWhittle.com. And gentlemen, the headline for this story was sparked by a story I read about a court case that's working its way through the U.S. Court of Appeals for the 11th Circuit in Florida. They are right now trying to decide whether to block an organization from doing what I'm about to describe as the court case works its way through the system. But basically, the guy who successfully went to the Supreme Court and got them to overturn racially biased college admissions, his guy named Edward Bloom, he is with the American Alliance for Equal Rights, and he is suing an organization called Fearless Fund that also has a foundation arm that's a grant-making arm called Fearless Foundation. He's suing them, saying it is discriminatory for them to issue grants to black female-owned businesses. And when I first saw this, I thought, now, wait a minute. Why is this a problem? Stephen Green, it's interesting because Edward Bloom, of course, makes a great case. I mean, he successfully argued before the Supreme Court. But basically, he is saying that under the Civil Rights Act, not of the 1960s, but of 1866, that it is illegal to discriminate even in a private business on the basis of race, and that Fearless Foundation, in issuing grants to business startups, it's basically Fearless Fund is a VC. It's a venture capital firm, and then they have this foundation that issues grants, that that they are discriminating racially. And Bloom says, quote, "There cannot be good racial discrimination and bad racial discrimination." He's basically saying all racial discrimination is bad. Meanwhile, the people over at Fearless Foundation, who's also the same CEO as the Fearless Fund, is saying, look, we looked at the landscape for VC funding for startups by African Americans and specifically by black women, and found that they're getting a tiny fraction of the startup money. So as long as there is this kind of apparent racial bias in that system, we want to give a hand to these people. And so Fearless Foundation, Steve, is making the argument that their grants to black-owned female startups are charitable donations that should be protected under the First Amendment, while I think it's the 14th Amendment that Bloom is making his argument under, basically saying that this is, I'm sorry, not the 14th Amendment, but the 1866 Civil Rights Act, saying that you can't discriminate in private business. But Steve, it seems to me like I remember Milton Friedman talking about how he wishes that people would just, like, if the grocer didn't want to sell to black people, he should be able to not sell to black people. And everybody would know that he was the grocer who doesn't sell to black people. And they could take their business elsewhere if they felt that that was racially discriminatory. And I can understand, Steve, if we get entangled with tax issues, if your donation is tax deductible, for example, to the Fearless Foundation, then government is ensnared in that. But as a general principle, do you think it's okay for organizations to form around specific groups and say, look, we want to give Italian Americans a leg up. We want to give Ukrainian Americans some help. We want to give women some help. What's wrong with that?
Yeah, I believe in liberty. Strangely enough, if you want to have a group that supports this particular group of people that you like, go for it. It's supposed to be a free country. That said, if it's illegal under this under the Civil Rights Act from 1868, I think you said
1866.
How about, 1866. Excuse me. How about this? We change the law. Hmm. You know, we have tools. We have a legislative body. It's called Congress. I know it's dysfunctional as all hell, but this really speaks to this idea that of having automatic sunsets in our laws. In fact, that to me is a more interesting thing than the racial part, because I believe in liberty. I believe in free people doing whatever the hell they want in pursuit of their own self-interest. Made this country great. It'll keep this country great if we can get back to it. But we have so much cruft, so much legal cruft. You know, I remember kind of laughing at the Euro weenies back in the 80s. when the this was before it was the EU. This was when it was still the European Economic Community, and then it was the EC, the European Community, and then just the EU. And back then in the 80s, the EEC was really starting to insert its tentacles just all across Western Europe with all the controls and regulations, and it was really starting to stifle growth and especially innovation in Western Europe. Name the last big innovation to come out of Western Europe. Seriously, the only one I can think of is the compact disc, and that was developed in the Netherlands in conjunction with Sony in Japan. Hmm. I honestly can't think of another one. I'm sure maybe there must be, but I don't
Legos.
Know what it is. And Lego, well, that came from the 1950s. when the EC was just the European Coal and Steel Community, I believe it was. Anyway, the point of all this is a word was coined for this slow strangulation of innovation in Europe due to bureaucracy, and it's called eurosclerosis.
Hmm.
And it's a great word. It was perfect. I remember thinking, oh, we are so much freer and smarter than those stupid Euro weenies and their supranational government that's growing in Brussels and choking them all to death. And now here we are, where we find that the ability of Americans to organize and give money and spend money the way they want has got a cap on it, thanks to what was, I'm sure, a well-meaning law passed in the just immediately after the Civil War, trying to help Black Americans, most of whom were just freed slaves. Okay, I get that. You guys meant well. Newsflash, 2024 is not 1866. And what I would like is to start repealing laws left and right. And the moon is a harsh mistress. And this will be my last point before I wrap this up. Heinlein had a great idea for a bicameral legislature. There would be one house that would do nothing but pass laws. And to do that, it would need a two-thirds supermajority for any law. Didn't matter what it was. Heinlein's thought, well, his character's thought, was that any law that was offensive enough to a third of the people was probably bad or at least unnecessary. Don't need it. The other half of the legislature, their only job would be to repeal laws, and they could repeal any law with a one-third minority vote. And I thought, you would have such a clean slate for liberty. There would be none of this cruft built up over 250 years. You would hardly have any cruft from last week. Let's get to it. Let's repeal laws.
Well, Bill Whittle, you know, I find myself, as I was reading this story, agreeing with both parties. And oddly enough, both parties agree with each other in the sense that they both seek to have a society where race isn't an issue in anything, where, you know, everybody has an equal opportunity for everything. And so therefore, you know, an organization such as the Fearless Foundation would never have come into being because there would be no need for it. They have some statistics on it, and it gets a little dense, but basically the organization's Fearless Fund started in 2018 when Black female startups got about $484 million in investment. And overall, Black startups, including males, got $1.7 billion, which made up 1% of the $131 billion allocated by venture capital firms to startups that year. There was a little surge during what they might call the George Floyd effect in 2021, where funding for Black startups went up to $4.9 billion. But then in 2023, it dropped down to $705 million. First time since 2016 that it hasn't been over $1 billion. And so, you know, I can see the need. And I also can hear Edward Bloom's case to say, look, there can't be such thing as good racial discrimination and bad racial discrimination. There's just racial discrimination. This is what Bloom is doing, basically. This is the case where the defendant decided to fight. But Bloom has already settled out of court with six other defendants by basically saying to them, hey, I'm going to drag you through an expensive court process, or you can go into your bylaws and amend the rules for handing out grants and change it so that there's no racial component whatsoever. And so he's gotten about a half a dozen of those groups to kowtow to his will without having to take them to court. This group just basically said, you know, we're not going to take it. No, we're not going to take it. And so they decided to fight it. But Bill, to me, it's almost one of those things where because you can see the right on both sides and you can see the risk for wrong overall, maybe it's something that doesn't belong in court at all.
Well, sometimes these moral dilemmas are genuinely perplexing and you really have to, you know, dig deep to find out what the answer is. But for some reasons, unless I've missed something major, this one just sounds like a slam dunk to me. If we're talking about spending public money, then yes, discrimination is wrong. If we're talking about spending private money, you spend your private money on whatever you want to. It's just a piece of cake to me. There's no question about it. Him trying to tell people what they can donate to and not donate to is, to me, just plain busybodying issues, you know? I can understand getting stung and wanting to sting back, but seriously. And by the way, I think this is, in all of society, you know, you can't be a conservative without being accused of racism and all the rest of this stuff. So I learned real early on that this was a really good example. I am 100% opposed to affirmative action and 100% in favor of the United Negro College Fund.
Yeah.
And both of those things are designed to do the same thing, right? Which is to get more black kids into colleges and universities and get them graduate. Affirmative action is coercive racism on the part of the government, which can enforce laws to make people do things that are unfair. The United Negro College Fund, on the other hand, is a completely voluntary mechanism to provide some counterbalance to whatever disadvantages this population may be coming from. There's a lot of black students are from poor locations, urban environments, and so on. So if you're trying to fix the problem of saying, hey, there's discrimination or there's injustice or that black students are at some kind of a disadvantage, then you can either coercively mandate quotas that do nothing but graduate people who are not comfortable being graduated and cast a bad reflection on people who don't need affirmative action and who graduate with honors anyway, or you can basically pass the hat around to people who are like-minded and say, this is a problem, do you want to help? And you do, and you get that kid some scholarship money or tuition money or tutorship money or whatever. It's crystal clear to me.
And I think I'm with Bill on this, that when I read the story, I was like, as long as we're not entangled with government, which, you know, is a near impossibility in modern society, but as long as we're not entangled with government, I think people should be able to do with their money what they choose as long as they're not hurting anybody. But the challenge here becomes, although it's not mentioned in the story, by the way, is that you can take a tax deduction for making a contribution. So they say, well, yeah, government is involved. But apparently that's not the case that Edward Blum is making. He's making it basically saying that the 1866 Civil Rights Act said there can't be discrimination even in the private sector. And that was designed to protect largely African Americans who had recently been freed from slavery. And I find myself with strange bedfellows on this because, you know, on my side now is the ACLU, the Legal Defense Fund, and Al Sharpton. But I don't care who's on my side. I'm just trying to make a good decision. And I will grant you that reading an article or two about a case doesn't give you, you know, exhaustive knowledge of all the legal subtleties involved in how this case should be resolved. But I think as a general principle, I kind of admire the people at the Fearless Foundation, even though I probably wouldn't admire their motivations, you know, at their rallies, there's probably somebody holding up a DEI banner, you know, diversity, equity, and inclusion, which is kind of a movement within organizations and universities. But it's a private sector venture capital fund with a foundation that is a grant-making arm that is awarding grants to a group of people they perceive aren't getting enough opportunity to get funding for their great ideas. And by the way, they said about a quarter of the firms that they are funding, the startups that they are funding, are on their way to becoming what's called a unicorn in the business, which is a $1 billion company. And so they're operating like a serious venture capital firm, and then they have this grant-making arm. So my general inclination is to say, let them make grants. I mean, let them help whom they wish to help. I think that their charitable argument under the First Amendment is a legitimate one, and I don't think that the 1866 Civil Rights Act ought to obtain in this case. Am I glad that we no longer have motels with signs out front that say whites only? Yes. On the other hand, I would like to see people who think that way putting a sign up in front of their businesses so I know. You know, I just, if you're a racist, can please put a sign up that says that so that we can know out front, because I don't want to be inadvertently supporting a business that's discriminating against some of my neighbors just because you hate them. But if you want to give money to an organization, the Daughters of the American Revolution, that grants scholarships for young people, great. If you want to help the United Negro College Fund, awesome. The NAACP, whatever organization you want to give money to. Hang on a second. I've got a spam caller coming in. Whatever organization you want to give money to, that's fine. And I think that government should disentangle itself from that. So even though I agree with a lot of what Edward Blum says, and I'm grateful for what he did at the Supreme Court regarding racial-based admissions at universities, I'm kind of hoping he loses this one and that people can do what they wish with their charitable donations. For Bill Whittle and Stephen Green, I'm Scott Ott. Thanks to the members at BillWhittle.com for making Right Angle possible.